Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room Show on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show comes to you live from Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark. Brought to you by Licking Memorial Health Systems, The Toy Store, Desserts Bakery, Lewis Clark Insurance, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lakeside Self-Storage and Heat, and Ship Brothers Brewing.
Pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first edition of the Licking County Locker Room for the 2025 season. I'm Brian Mays, your host throughout this fall season when we focus on high schools in Licking County. We'll look at football, volleyball, golf, you name it. We'll cover it for you as we preview and talk to all the high schools here in Licking County. Tonight, though, we're going to talk strictly about the Pigskin as we will preview the upcoming 2025 season, looking at the LCL, and of course, the Newark Wildcats. And I'm happy to be joined by one of the co-hosts of the Friday Night Scoreboard Show on our sister station, T100, that being Lee Waller. Lee, as always, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, a pleasure to be here. It's the start of the season.
And how many years now are we on the Scoreboard Show, my friend?
The show is going on 11. I'm going on 7, personally. So Mark got that 10-year bonus, and he didn't have to show up tonight.
Well, you know, there are many reasons why Mark Bruce did not show up. But, you know, how have you been able to put up with Mark Bruce for 7 years?
Well, he carries the show. I just have to show up. I'm the groom in this scenario. I just kind of show up on the day. Yeah, he does all the work behind the scenes.
There you go. Well, if we're going to try to butter him up, I will cut that down very quickly if at all I can. It should be a very interesting year within our coverage area, and I know you guys on the Scoreboard Show also focus heavily on the MVL and the KMAC and things like this, but I think we have a lot of teams this year, Lee, that have some returnees, some key areas, but also areas that they have to be filled. I just look at a lot of differences where the momentum that teams could get in the non-conference really could carry them over to a league championship.
Yeah, you have a lot of young, I think, talent, but young. And so momentum early in the season is going to be a key indicator of how the conference is going to go. And then one of the things I think is interesting, this is the least amount of coaching turnover we've had in probably, I would say, at least 5 or 6 years in the LCL. There's only one new coach, I think, this year at Lakewood.
At Lakewood with Pete German, and he's got a lot of background with very successful
coaches. He's familiar
coaches.
With the LCL.
Yes.
He's very familiar with the area. Was grew up out in Hanover, played for Licking Valley. So it would be really interesting to watch him take that over. But everybody else is back, coaching-wise.
I think that's a great hire for them. And speaking of coaches, last year the Division I Coach of the Year was right here in Licking County, and that being Newark's head coach Bill Franks, as the team went 7-3, their first winning season in 20 plus years. They got to the postseason and gave Upper Arlington all they could handle in that first round matchup. And you just were waiting and waiting and waiting. Can Newark get over the hump? What a year they had. I don't think anyone saw 7-3 coming, but the players and the coaches did a tremendous job last year.
They did, and Bill knows better than anybody that in order to get over the hump, you have to stay over the hump.
Right.
And one year doesn't make your program successful, but another bad year can kind of reverse you right back down to where you were. So it's how you handle success. Are they going to follow that up again with another solid year this year? If they do, then we might be talking about Newark finally getting over that hump for good.
Well, we might as well ask the man what he thinks about this upcoming 2025 season.
It's like we've done this before.
Yeah, don't you think? Maybe a little bit of a segue in there. So earlier this week, I had a chance to speak to the head coach, and here we go.
I know it's a new season, but let's go back for a minute or two for 2024. 7-3, unbeaten at home at Whitefield. Before the season, a lot of players talked about, we were close, we want to get over the hump. And sure enough, they did it. You made it to the postseason. So, recapping last year, your overall thoughts of just how that team performed for you?
Well, we felt the build in 22 and 23. It just kept growing, and we became very competitive. And then, by golly, in 24, we got good. And it was a culmination of just a lot of people being focused and sticking to our goals and sticking to our belief systems, and you win with people. And quite frankly, we have good kids and that like our coaches, and our coaches, quite frankly, enjoy coaching our kids.
And if there was ever a chance for it to go off the rails, it seemed like those leaders on the ball club just were not going to let it happen. We're not going to have a two-game, a three-game, a four-game losing streak. We're going to get back on the hump and listen to our coaches and do what we need to do. And you have that carry over to the seniors and juniors of this year. I'm sure they saw that and felt that.
Well, in that senior class, the exceptional group of just, you know, human beings that, you know, just believe in doing things the right way. And that has trickled down. You know, our current group of seniors, you know, they were successful, you know, coming up through fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth grade. And they like their football group. They enjoy football. And so they're showing the younger guys the way. So it's definitely fun to, you know, we talk a lot around here about don't ever forget who dug the well. You know, that's from Quack. And there's been a lot of people, you know, in our town that have invested deeply in our community. And so we try to teach the history and we try to not make our kids feel tremendous pressure to get things back to, quite frankly, where we think they should be. But we do embrace the day and the journey, and I think our kids take pride in that.
Well, and you talked about embracing the day, and I think this group embraces the challenge, especially of can you do it back-to-back years? Can you have the success that was started?
And what was great, we went up against a solid Watkins unit, and they were very competitive, and it just solidified, you know, the importance we always tell our guys is every game is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Every rep matters. And football in Ohio, let's be honest, is a big deal. And people take it serious. And people have tools and they have resources. We just, every week, we just need to just perform to the best of our ability and try to figure out how to go 1-0 that week.
I know you as coaches, you want to focus on attention to detail. Every little thing needs to be done the right way. And you also want to see the kids develop, which sometimes you develop by making mistakes. So there's so much to wrap up in a couple of weeks of practice before week one. Is it one of those where you get the most out you can before that first game and then kind of go forward from there?
The summer now, it culminates in June, you have 70% of your kids. In July, you have 85% of your kids. So you just continue. But you have to teach.
Yeah.
Because it's legal now. It's legal to teach, quite frankly, in the spring and in the winter. So we're teaching year-round now. The kids that aren't in a sport. And then we just reteach. And that's the whole gist of coaching now is enjoy teaching. And we've always said the best, you know, teachers are coaches and the best coaches are teachers. So we just teach and we have to be willing to reteach, which I'll be honest, it does get frustrating to have to reteach sometimes because we want to move forward. But if we get into too big of a daggone hurry, we're not going to perform because we have to, you know, meet the needs of all kids, of all students that haven't been around, you know, in the spring and in the summer. With that said, we have to coach though, because if we don't, we won't keep up. So it's a juggling act. It's a sharing act with all the other coaches. And we believe the Newark way is that we share our kids and we put kids above individual programs and so that they have great life experience. And you did touch on something that's big. Sometimes I found myself here early on being a little bit too drive, push. And I got to always remember, have a little fun. It's high school. And just, you know, let them see you smile. Let them see you enjoy yourself. So we are trying to still have that mix in there.
I don't care what sport you're talking about. How mentally you feel about your position or how you play is how you're going to perform at game time.
So much of it's confidence, right?
Yeah.
And it's being calm. So that you can perform, so that you can think. And so there's a, you know, you just have to know when to, Hoss Starr used to say, whisper in their ear, and then also know when to kick them in the proverbial rear. Mm-hmm. Not that we would do that in the modern era.
Right.
But there's just a fine line, and I think it all comes down to everybody understanding our job is to learn how to learn.
From the coaches down to the
boys. Everybody needs to learn how to learn. And then we just proceed and we don't want to go backwards too much, but we have to accept the fact that we're going to have bad plays. We're going to have bad days and we just can't stack bad days.
Right.
And we just have to keep the growth mindset, you know, of currently struggling with and trying to find a way to solve a problem. And bottom line is, again, it's repetition, it's teaching, and it's finding a way to make a kid understand.
You've got 20 seniors and your quarterback coming back who threw for 1,700 yards and 20 touchdowns. I don't think they're going to fall off. Again, the OCC is very challenging.
Yeah.
But now that they've got a taste and they know what it takes to win, and if they can get a couple more road victories, I don't see why this team could not be back in the postseason two straight years.
Yeah, and the schedule is always the challenge for Newark because, you know, they play in such a good conference. You have kids in that conference that are going to play in college football every year. They lost to all Ohioans off of that team. So they're going to have some holes to fill. But as we always talk about, good coaching, and if you have a returning experienced quarterback in high school, that's a huge advantage.
And they've got at least four guys on the coaching staff that have been head coaches.
Yes.
So Coach Franks can almost be a CEO. Position, he can let those guys, they know what it takes. So,
and he knows long-term they have to build the offensive line. That's what the whole focus was in like the preview that they had this week. It focuses on the lines because he knows you have to win in the trenches to have any sustained success against that schedule that they play.
And the only thing is, now that you're coming to town or kids are coming or schools are coming to town, they know it's not going to be a pushover. So you've got to be on your game. And we're going to see them early. Our first game coming up this Friday, they will be in Pataskala taking on the Licking Heights Hornets. Both those teams really want to figure themselves out very quickly.
You
I think that's going
to
be
two schools that need to get off to a good start, but to continue the momentum from last year for Newark and really for Licking Heights too. They doubled their win total from a year before. They had four wins this year. Coach Dreyer coached in the All-Star game over the summer, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves out in Pataskala too. And those are two teams that they don't want to start the season with a loss.
It should be a fun one. When we come back, we'll start to preview the LCL, and we'll begin with the Buckeye. That's next as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing here on Kate 98.7.
I'm Cindy Lane, and here at Lewis Clark Insurance, we love football. It's not just because we have five grandsons playing either. It takes a team to make a win happen with hard work and dedication. Here at Lewis Clark Insurance, we recognize the value of team, and that's why we partnered with Auto Owners Insurance years ago. Lewis Clark Insurance, representing Auto Owners Insurance. Together, we have the playbook for your insurance needs. Auto, home, life, and more. LewisClarkInsurance.com.
Cub Cadet XT and Duro Series lawn tractors are setting the standard for performance and comfort. Head to your locally owned Cub Cadet dealer, Buckeye Valley Equipment, today and see how the fastest growing lawn tractor delivers more strength, versatility, and more durability in one lineup. All backed by strong warranties, genuine parts, accessories, and trained service technicians only your local Cub Cadet dealer can provide. Stop by Buckeye Valley Equipment, your locally owned Cub Cadet dealer, at 3570 National Road Southeast, Hebron, or visit BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, where's the local bakery? You say, Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Ship Brothers Brewing. Ship Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Come see us for the 2025 factory-authorized clearance event. This is Jeff from the toy store in Thornville. We have savings of up to $4,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides, $2,000 savings on select Polaris Sportsman models, and two-year warranty on all full-size Ranger models. Financing specials as low as 0.99% for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the toy store or PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family-owned and operated for over 20 years. Come see us. It'll be the best decision you make. You won't be disappointed.
Reclaim your garage, office, or basement with Lakeside Storage in Heath. Get your second month free after your first paid month on a variety of units starting at $65.
Sizes from 5x10 all the way up to 10x30.
Discounts for police, fire,
military, clergy, and educators.
Save space and money. Organize your living space today.
Safe, secure, local. Lakeside Storage Heath. 614-908-0246.
That's 614-908-0246.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our healthcare technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
Hi, this is Adam Reed with the Licking County Veterans Service Commission. Did you serve in the U.S. military? If so, please contact our office. We can provide information and assist you with filing for local, state, and federal veterans benefits, including compensation, non-service-related disability pensions, surviving spouse benefits, health care enrollment, education, emergency financial assistance, and much more. Call 740-670-5430 to schedule an appointment. We are located at 935 Buckeye Avenue in Newark.
And we're back with the Licking County Locker Room Show on Kate 98.7.
Brian Mays, Lee Waller, we are here at Ship Brothers previewing the upcoming 2025 high school football season. And we turn to the LCL Buckeye, Licking Valley, the returning league champs. And we'll hear from the Master Hall of Famer, Randy Boffman, in just a few minutes. But they really just kind of took it to everybody. Granville had a strong year, 9-2, went 4-1 in the league with a lone loss to the Panthers out in Hanover. Watkins and Licking Heights, you mentioned the Heights going 4-6, losing in the first round of the playoffs. Watkins, that is a enigma team if there ever was. They went 3-8. A lot of good players on that football team. Jaden Ricketts coming back. He could have a monster year.
Yep.
Those two teams.
He needs to have a monster year.
Yeah. With the Battle of Broad Street, I both those teams better than their record indicates, and it'll be interesting to see what happens to both of them this year.
Yeah, definitely Watkins. That's kind of what we were talking about with Newark. They had a year where you thought they broke through under Darren Waters, made the playoffs, and then last year 3-8 when they had quite a bit of talent back, and so you're wondering what's this year going to hold.
And they both have kind of difficult non-conference schedules too. So
yes.
You know, if you are 2-3, 1-4 getting into lead play, where's the psyche? Where's the momentum? Because then you know you've got the Blue Aces.
Depends on who you beat, who those wins are against.
That's
if you beat
true.
A couple good teams, you drop a couple, then you call it a wash and you move into league play.
And one of the teams that might be very interesting to watch, and it's not from Licking County, just up the road in Knox County, is Mount Vernon. Second year in the league. Last year they went 2-8, 1-4 in LCL Buckeye play with head coach Mark Weber. And I asked Coach how things are going and how they're getting ready to turn things around.
You know, obviously we've been getting through training camp, and the team we're growing. You know, it's been a program that we took over a year ago, and we're building it from the ground up. So it's definitely in its early stages for the long haul, but it's definitely the little things are improving. The little things are so important.
And that was one of the things I was going to ask you is, you know, everyone loves to, you know, talk about wins and losses, but when you're starting at the ground up, it's the small details, the small things that you want to see. I'm guessing the kids do consistently day in and day out.
Everyone looks at, you know, they want to win, but you have to do all these things right for a lot of years for those to start stacking up, for those bricks to start stacking. So, like at my previous school, you know, the youth league, the middle school, those are where we really win with the little things. And then as those kids come through, they're doing the things right. That's what we focused on. You know, we got the youth league and the middle school aligned with the high school, and the high school is our varsity team is doing a phenomenal job. It's just kind of the new culture, the consistency, the never miss mentality, which is in place now. So of the 50 guys we have, you know, 48 out of 50 show up every single day.
Do you rely on leadership more from your seniors when you're starting to build something like this, that you're looking at them to lay the groundwork for what you want to accomplish, not just this year, but 3-5 years down the road, where they're being looked at to, okay, this is what we need to do if we want to get there?
Yeah, I mean, you could say seniors. I don't know that we kind of have a senior mentality. We really don't actually talk about that much. I mean, I would expect probably our team captains will be seniors, but we definitely don't look at it as, hey, seniors, you got to lead. I think everyone's got to lead. So we look at the freshmen to lead, the sophomores to lead, the brand that we're trying to instill. So, no, I don't put that unneeded pressure on them. I think leaders lead without saying, hey, you have to lead, you know. So we kind of have a system in place to make sure we're developing leadership, because that had to be taught from the ground up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they did think, hey, I'm a senior, so I'm a leader. And it was like, no, that's not true at all, because you're not a leader because of this, this, and this. The age thing, we've kind of just kind of cut out, but the structure and the system we have in place for what a leader is, you know, we have 9 pillars that they got to follow, or I don't even know, follow, live is the word, a standard, right? So if you have a standard in place, then it's not really rules or whatever you want to look at it.
What are you wanting to learn or find out about your team with a couple of scrimmages before the season starts?
Yeah, that's why I scheduled Bloom Carroll right off the rip is, are you physical? You know, you're going to find that out real quick. Do your guys love to hit? Do your guys love to block? Do they love to do the gritty stuff? So that's kind of why we put the scrimmage schedule in front of them. If you're tough and you're gritty, all that other stuff can be put in with time. The toughness and the grit is only going to show up like in a scrimmage, preseason, things like that.
And then moving ahead, since, you know, we're here in the Licking County League, and it is a tough Buckeye division once you get into it, with the likes of Granville and Licking Valley having a great year last year and Watkins having a lot of players return. I know you're focused on your team, coach, obviously, and what you want to build, but just kind of looking ahead at what you know is going to be coming down the gauntlet second half of the season.
Oh, yeah, the first half's not easy either. But, you know, Harding, Newark, Delaware, nothing's easy. You got Johnstown had a great season, Heath. So there is no easy game, but if you're, you know, if you're trying to build a culture of toughness and a culture of leadership and a toughness, you know, a culture of we're going to change this for the long haul, the playing good games is only going to help you. If you have wins, but you're playing 8 teams that aren't very good and you're 8-2, that's kind of false security, right? So we know that every team on our schedule is good. That's what, okay, are you going to be a, you know, I don't know what word to use. Are you going to be a coward because you lost to some of these good teams, or are you going to work that much harder in the offseason? So that's kind of what we saw. They know what's coming, so they kind of put that extra work in, you know. They did that extra lift, that extra run. A lot of our guys went to seek O-line coaches, trainings, quarterback trainings, things like that, because they know who they're playing. Okay, you're playing Granville and Licking Valley. They're going to be on top of their game.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Jackets this whole upcoming season. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
No nonsense.
No. they have a plan, you can tell. They want to build a program. They're definitely trying to do it the right way. You look at Johnstown, you look at Licking Valley, you look at these coaches that have been there 20-plus years. They have programs. They have identities. You build it from the youth league on up. You have to have a lot of buy-in from the community, and the only way to do that is to start at the beginning, and it's a long process. And they're trying to do that in Mount Vernon. The schedule does them no favors this year. Johnstown and Heath would just absolutely love to beat a school from the big school division.
Yep.
They do that pretty routinely when they get the opportunity. So it's not an easy schedule, but like he said, the wins that they earn this year, they're going to earn them, and you can feel good about that. If they find a way to win, you know, find a way to win 4 or 5 games, I think that's something you can feel good about for sure.
And speaking of programs,
yeah,
is there any program like Licking Valley within the area? Because 50 years, Coach Boffman has been leading, getting it done, and it was just about 2.5 years ago,
yeah,
some questions started to arise. Is it slipping a little bit?
Yeah.
And since they lost to Heath
is
in 2023,
right, is it slipping?
In 2023, they lost to the Bulldogs, beat them pretty soundly. They've gone 19-4 since.
Yeah.
And last year, 5-0 in the league. They win 2 games in the playoffs, beat a very good Bloom Carroll team.
Yep.
In round 2, and eventually lost to the state champs, Watterson. But this team is good. They're back. And I had a chance to speak to the Hall of Famer, head coach Randy Boffman, about the upcoming season for Licking Valley.
I know each season is different, but if we go back to last year with a great season, 11-2, league championship, and just overall your thoughts about that ball club and just how well they performed in 2024.
Well, as I've said before, it was just a fun group. Great group of seniors, small in number, but they really were close-knit. The seniors last year did an excellent job, and we sure miss them this year. But they kind of set the standard. It's something that we can shoot for.
You don't want to look at week three of a season as being a make or break, but you were 1-1. You had beaten Sheridan soundly and had a heartbreaker losing at home to West Muskingum, and you go on the road to Reedy. And that could have went either way, but you get a hard-fought win, and then it just kind of seemed to get those wheels going and a great run the rest of the year.
Yeah. Again, you never know when a certain ball game is going to kind of make or break. And I don't know if we would have lost that game. I'm not going to say that we couldn't have bounced back, because we've done that before.
Yeah.
But you're right, to go into Columbus and beat a Columbus school, a school that's got a good reputation. You know, it was at their place. I think they felt pretty confident coming out there against us. So it was nice to knock them off, and it did get the momentum going.
And so now we turn the page to this year, and you're right. You're going to miss some big seniors, but you've got some key players coming back that now have enjoyed that success, gotten a league championship, and you know that I think always helps with the drive and the hunger, saying, "Hey, let's not be satisfied with what we did. Let's see what we can do."
Yeah, I mean, we're blessed this year that we've got four or five kids that are actually that now they'll be 3-year starters. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have that experience coming in. Now it's a matter of fitting in pieces. You know, when the seniors left, they took pieces out of it. The basic structure is still there. And you'd say, oh, well, just get a couple other guys and plug in there. But, you know, that's tougher than it seems. They were that important. But I like the way the younger guys have stepped up. There's been some guys that are filling in. I mentioned this to the coaches the other day. We've probably got more competitive battles going on for positions than what I can remember in recent years.
When you say that, and also the competitiveness, would that be another case of where maybe a second string guard who just couldn't quite make it to be first string, would you tinker around and put them somewhere else? Or is it more like you just like to have that depth knowing you've got folks, you know, waiting to come in?
Yeah. You know, a little bit of both. That's ironic that you would say that, because I just had a conversation before you came in with a kid that has been working a linebacker, and he's kind of stuck there. There's quite a few battling for linebackers, and we kind of had a shortage at defensive end. And I said, look, you're a big kid. You know, would you consider moving to defensive end and competing for that? I think your chances would be better. And you never know how they're going to react. Sometimes they're for it, sometimes they're not. And thank goodness I can say he put the team first, and he said, yeah, by all means. He said he'd love to go there. I said, I suppose you probably played it in Biddy League, and he just smiled. He said, no, junior high. I said, okay, you're in there. And then he added, Coach, I've got a heck of a swim move on the pass rush. I said, well, we'll have to see that. But that, you know, that's the nice thing about this job, when you have a kid that's willing to change to try to help the team. For the most part, I've been blessed that kids would be willing to move. The ones that I admire the most are the ones that are willing to move to a offensive lineman position. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, it's not glamorous. It's not glamorous at all. I mean, I think they're the heart and soul of any team. But coming up through, everybody hears of the running backs and the receivers and so on. And if you can get...
ends up winning the league is going to be deserving. And we're just hope that we are that team.
Coach, thanks for your time. Best of luck to you and the Vikings this upcoming season.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And the last team to look at in the LCL Cardinal, the Heath Bulldogs. At one point, they had lost four straight games last year, but they reversed things. They won four straight to end the year, finishing 5-5, and they lose to eventual state champ Indian Valley in that first round. But the Bulldogs always are going to bring talent to the table, and it'll be interesting to see what they do this time around.
Yeah, they experience winning the league. Coach Ward and his staff are no stranger to winning the league. Matter of fact, I think that a lot of people favored them last year. It turned out Johnstown had the better year in their run to the championship. But Heath hasn't gone very many years in a row without at least tying or getting a share of the league title, and I would expect them to be in the mix again this year.
And another one who feels that way is the head coach, Tim Ward.
Just kind of looking back, your thoughts on that ball club last year and kind of where the taste is for this group after the end of last season.
We had a very tough schedule up front last year. We knew that going into the season. And we knew we were going to have to catch a couple breaks to get things going our way. Unfortunately, the ball kind of bounced the other way. We started off pretty hot in week one. Week two, lost a really, really close game to Buckeye Valley. And then in week three, are both of our top two running backs, who we thought were going to be the best two running backs or the best running back combo in the area, both got hurt on back-to-back plays. And so they weren't really the same for the next probably 4 weeks or so. So that really kind of put a damper right there in the middle of the season. But I think going into this season, what that did was it actually provided an opportunity to get a lot of experience for some of the guys that we have returning this year. Guys like Tristan Jones and Cam Stevens got more reps carrying the ball than they probably would have otherwise. Guys like Drew Gostrew and Joe Ward got more reps at receiver than they may have got otherwise. Quentin Sunkel ended up starting the entire season for us at safety. And so now he's a veteran coming back this year, probably moving to where he's best suited, which would be at receiver, but still has that varsity experience. So we saw a lot of experience that kind of emerged out of those injuries.
What do you look for in the ball club at this point? Because it all builds up to that crescendo in week one, but there's so much football to be played after that fact. Is it more just trying to find out who you are for that first game?
A lot of what we're looking for right now is guys to step up and take positions. So all summer long, we have focused on, like, who are the guys that are going to be in competition for a spot? Mm-hmm. And some of those guys have now taken their spot. But we got some other guys who are still holding something back a little bit. So we're trying to squeeze every ounce of potential that we can out of them and get them to understand that, like, you don't want to have a spot given to you. You want to take a spot. So we got 71 guys on the team this year, 9 through 12. If you are, if you're a corner or a safety or a linebacker or whatever, you want the other 70 guys on the team to know that spot is yours, and you're going to do whatever it takes to continue to hold that spot down.
Looking ahead, before the start of league play, you've got Philo and then a couple games on the road, Buckeye Valley return match, and then you've got Ad Academy, and then you're home to Valley and Mount Vernon. So you'll find out about this team before league play starts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then on top of that, we open up league play then with the defending champion. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to find out a lot about ourselves early, and I think that'll be fun. We're really hoping that this week one Philo game could maybe turn in here in 10 or 12 years, could turn into something like Sheridan Valley, where people from the counties are in Central Ohio, they're looking at that game like, okay, this is going to be a big predictor of how those two teams are going to play. And so we've got a real good relationship with Philo. We have 7-on-7 with them for the last 10 years or so. Okay. But obviously not this year because matching up week one. Right. So that should be an awesome week one matchup. You mentioned week three, bringing Columbus Academy back on the schedule. That was a team we used to be in a league with, and then we've scrimmaged the last several years. So getting them back on the schedule, I mean, they're obviously loaded. Had a great season last year and have a lot of guys coming back this year. And then Buckeye Valley has a ton returning as well. And so, yeah, right off the rip, we're going to find out who we are going into those league crossover games.
And we kind of talked before this, you know, you have Johnstown as a favorite because they're coming back as league champs. But I look at the league wide open. A lot of folks have holes to fill. They've got players coming back. But I really don't see one team really here going in before league play starts. Whoever has a back to momentum, I think, has a great chance to win this thing.
Absolutely. I think that's a testament to several things. I think we've got some really good coaching staffs in our league who are raising the expectations of their programs. I mean, Coach Rally up at Utica is doing a great job with those guys, and you see him improvement in those guys every single year, and they're going to be tough again. I mean, they go 7-3 last year,
yeah,
and they're going to be tough again this year. Coach Calhoun at Northridge, who you had mentioned, I mean, he's doing great things up there. And they came down here for our showcase we did in their spring, and their offensive line I mean, they look like grown men. So they're going to bring some tough competition as well. And so, yeah, I think Johnstown personally has to be the favorite because, in my opinion, when you're the champ, you're at the top of the hill and somebody's got to knock you off. But I don't think those other games are going to be any kind of walkover either. I think there's just really good competition in our league right now.
Getting ready to kick things off. It's going to be a fun year. Thank you, Coach.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good.
Well, he says go Dogs because that's how he ends every comment, every interview. But I think he's right, though. I think the Cardinal is wide open. It really could be anybody's.
Breaking news, the LCL Cardinal is pretty much wide open. I mean, there have been years where you can say, okay, these two teams, it's probably going to come down to that. But the Cardinal is so fun because I think right now, to allude to what both coaches just talked about, there's enough talent and enough good coaching that you can't really feel safe going into any game. Particularly, maybe you argue, you know, Lakewood while they find their footing with the new coaching staff. But even a game like that, you know, you take it for granted and you can wind up on the end of an upset.
Yep.
So, but certainly the top probably four or five teams in the Cardinal, the way that they finished last year. I mean, any of those teams, like you were talking about, you know, Johnstown Northridge last year was 7-0 at halftime. Johnstown won the league and Northridge had them pretty much right where they wanted them at halftime. So there's a lot of competition in there, and I kind of agree with him. I think it's Johnstown's to lose, but Heath is the only team that's in the mix, we think, preseason-wise, with a returning experienced quarterback. And so, you know, you bring back a coaching staff that knows how to win the league. They have an experienced quarterback. You know, Johnstown's breaking in a new quarterback, so we'll have to see how that plays out. It'll be interesting. To his point, Northridge brings back all five offensive linemen, and Coach Calhoun was dyed in the wool of Johnstown football, among others, you know, coached there for many years. And so if you love offensive runs up the middle, go to the Week 8 game in Johnstown and Northridge because you're going to see 85 rushing attempts or 90.
That you will.
All those teams have a chance. It's just who can be the most consistent and who gets the most out of what they do best. And as always in the LCL, a lot of times who wins the line wins the game.
And the big change, this is the Mark Bruce segment. The big change coming up, we go from 16 teams to the postseason down to 12. And the first four get a bye in the first round. So we had several teams in that 13-16 range last year that won't be in it this time. I still think this is best. I'm not a big fan of the bye, but it's 12 now that get into the postseason.
We know you won the argument. Mark knows. But yeah, I see both sides of it. Like I said, I think for the players and schools themselves, I would argue that 16 is better just because of the momentum that creates. It gets a chance for more kids in the postseason. I think from a pure game standpoint, it's probably better with 12, especially with a first-round bye, which I know you don't like, but you're getting teams 5 through 12 play each other, which you could argue is the most amount of parity that you could have in that first week.
I would agree.
Yep.
Scoreboard show Friday night begins at
9 o'clock. We'll be here every Friday, 9 to 11, and when everybody's getting in the cars heading home, just tune in. You can see who's won, who's lost, and, you know, call us and taunt your rival a little bit.
We always look forward to that. And our game Friday night, game of the week, will be at Licking Heights. The Hornets entertaining the Newark Wildcats. Newark won this game last year 31-21. We'll see what happens this time around as we head west to Licking County. Our pregame show starts at 6:45 and the kickoff just after 7 o'clock. Lee, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate seeing you, and we'll look forward. I can't believe it's already here.
It is. And then the next 10 weeks fly by.
Yep.
I mean, the regular season just...
We look up,
boom.
And then we're talking about playoffs.
Playoffs?
Jim Morris.
Playoffs, but they were there. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully you can join us next week as well for the Licking County Locker Room. We'll be featuring Newark as we'll be talking football and volleyball with the Wildcats. That's next Monday here at Ship Brothers beginning at 6:30. For Lee Waller, this is Brian Mays. Have a great Monday evening. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room live here on Kate 98.7.
This is the Licking County Locker Room Show on Kate 98.7.